On a brisk, windy day, under a sky of gray, low-lying clouds, Captain John Vask guides the good ship Dolphin Watch 4 out of Provincetown Harbor and east toward the choppy seas where he hopes whales might be. This is his second 3-hour whale watch cruise today. Mr. Vask was a fisherman for 35 years before he became a whale watch captain. He says that the 40 or so tourists on board today stand a good chance of seeing a whale. It is late spring, during the whale's annual migration here from distant waters to the south.
Do you get like a hunch, like a sort of a feeling about where the whales are?
Sometimes it's a hunch where you're going to go, and other times it's just a lucky guess. It's fun and it's frustrating at times.
When you were fishing, did you used to see whales then as a fisherman?
Yeah, we used to see whales on occasion. I remember one time we had torn the net and we were fixing the net, and I was sitting on the stern trying to fix the net, and all of a sudden this whale comes up, and we can almost touch the whale. He's right on the stern of the boat, and he kind of hung there for about a half an hour while we were working on the net, and I think we were watching the whale more than, you know, trying to fix the net, but then I said, geez, this is pretty good.
Contrary to stereotype, not every whale is big. That's according to Michael Reardon, our onboard naturalist. Every dolphin fleet cruise has its own onboard scientist from the Center for Coastal Studies, a scientific group specializing in whale research, marine ecology, and public outreach. Michael Reardon says that while all whale species are mammals, not fish, there is a huge variation between species.
First of all, the term whales could refer to anything from the blue whale, which could be a massive 35 meters long, whereas you also have whales which can be as much as a little over a meter long. They range a huge spectrum, but they all share the common thing that they breathe air. They do give live birth to their young.
Now, they have breasts and belly buttons too, right?
They do have mammary glands, and a mother will lactate just like humans do, so it's kind of interesting. I think that familiarity of being mammals really attracts a lot of people to liking these animals.
Finback whales, which are very large and very fast swimmers, are common in this region, as are minke whales. Much rarer is the North Atlantic right whale. Only 300 or so North Atlantic right whales are known to exist worldwide. Still, that's what this group of young teenagers hope to see, and they've made up a little chant they hope will make it happen.
I'm not greedy, I just
want to
see one whale.
I want to see jump. What's that called?
Breaching.
I want to see one breach. That'd be cool.
Betty, a tourist from New York State, gets visibly excited as we approach the open sea, about 20 kilometers offshore. Once she saw a whale breach about 3 meters from where she stood on deck, and has since made whale watching an annual ritual.
I think they invented the word awesome for them. They're just magnificent. They come out of the water, they remind me of a giant pickle sometimes. They're all bumpy. You would just never think that you could see something like that so close.
The species we are most likely to see is the humpback whale. Michael Reardon says that humpbacks are known for their haunting underwater songs they use to communicate with and identify other whales, and for their willingness to sidle up to whale-watching boats.
Out of any of the whales, they tend to be most curious to the boats. If you're likely to get a close approach from a whale where it's showing curiosity, it's likely to be a humpback. And also, they tend to raise their flukes on every dive. A fluke is a tail, and they'll raise that tail right up out of the water, usually when they go under for what's called a terminal dive, when they're going to stay under. And when they do so, it gives you the opportunity to identify them.
The black and white pattern on the underside of each humpback's fluke is as unique as a fingerprint. The ship carries a log of about 1,500 fluke photographs dating back to the early 1970s. When a whale appears, it's given a name, and its fluke pattern is compared with the photos for a match. This enables scientists to track individual whales and to make estimates about species populations over time. It also helps amateur whale watchers like Eunice Rheingold identify with specific whales and adopt them. Today, Miss Rheingold and her family hope to catch a second look at a humpback named Half Moon.
It's a male. He migrates up here. They saw him last year north of here, so we want to see if we see him. He's coming to see family. It's a homecoming.
Finally, Mike Reardon spots a whale and points it out over the loudspeaker to those in the group that they have missed it. Everyone runs to the port side of the boat.
There we go, spout again. You just kind of see it by the waves there. We've got quite a bit of swell as the tide is turning.
You see him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't believe my chair worked.
Captain Vasque also seems excited. He slows the boat and fixes his gaze on the patch of water where the whale dove down.
You see one?
He's right here. Come on, one more time.
I guess the whales should go where they want to go, huh?
He's doing what he feels like doing. This is his playground.
This particular whale does not return close enough to the surface to be seen again, and there are unusually few sightings during the rest of the cruise. Naturalist Mike Reardon acknowledges that this is disappointing, yet he believes that something more than mere thrill-seeking underlies the worldwide fascination with spotting whales.
These whales were very close to the point of extinction, and some of them, since we've tried to combat the dying off of the whales, some of them have recovered. So if you can save something that is so close to extinction, then you can do lots of great things with the world. You know, you can actually make the world a great place to live.
For more information on whales and whale science on the Internet, try the Center for Coastal Studies website at www.coastalstudies.org and take it from there. Aboard the Dolphin Fleet 4 whale-watching boat off Provincetown, Massachusetts, this is Adam Phillips reporting.